Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Got extra game day tickets? Turn them into cash with Quick Assist. Download Quick Assist from your app store today to find H-Town fans looking for seats. That's Q-U-I-C-K-A-S-Y-S-T. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. And I realized as soon as I read that I also wanted to go to the text line real quick. And a salute to the 281 who was talking about the bad calls that still stick with them. They went to the 1986 NLCS Astros-Mets Game 6,
mm-hmm.
which was, I mean, how deep did that go? How many extra innings
16,
did go
I believe.
16 extra innings?
Maybe, arguably, one of the best baseball games ever played.
In the Astrodome.
Yep.
Yeah, I need to go
I
back.
Was not here, by the way, but I was watching from, was it college? No, it was 86. I was out of college, yeah.
Yeah, I need to go back and like take that in, because I'm trying to go and find what the bad call was there, because sincerely, I do not remember, but that at least gave me the good memories of, oh yes, I remember like reading and, you know, watching things about mm-hmm. that legendary baseball game. So appreciate you getting involved there.
Real quick, you know who really wishes the Astros would have won that 16 inning game?
Who was that?
Bill Buckner. Because the Mets went under the World Series and the ball went under Bill Buckner's legs.
That's a good shout right there.
Yeah. Yeah. That had that. Talk about butterfly effect. Had the Astros won in 86, Bill Buckner would still be a hero in Boston.
Oof. Yeah. That's in. Ooh. That's.
And his life collapsed after that.
Yeah. That is not really the talent that you want on your case. As evidenced by Bill Buckner.
Yeah.
Right? Like they did not let that man live for a very, very long time. All right. Around the NFL, before we get doing anything, salute to Dylan Horton, who was voted the 2024 Ed Block Courage Award winner by the Texans. That is, recipients of the award are selected by a vote by their peers to recognize their superb efforts both on and off the field and their ability to overcome great adversity. Obviously, in the case of defensive end Dylan Horton, that is being cancer, right? Like coming back and playing football after being diagnosed and having treatment for cancer, which, look,
I think that qualifies.
That is adversity, baby. Like that, you can check that one. That is absolutely adversity. And with the speed that he was able to return to, not that that's something that like you just kind of will
playing.
Yourself to necessarily.
Right after
returning to playing mm-hmm. as soon as humanly possible. Like again, a salute was deserved and obviously well earned in this 2024 Ed Block Courage Award for Dylan Horton. Mm-hmm. In fact, apparently earlier today, Seth may note that he. Earned that award in 2004, and I honestly must have missed it because I did not realize that. Mm-hmm. So salute to our very own Seth Payne.
That's
as well.
A big one. Yeah. And it's a great honor.
Absolutely. Speaking of great honors, Pro Bowl, or I guess the Pro Bowl games, but yeah. The Pro Bowl has been announced, at least the Pro Bowl.
You had to remind me of that one.
What?
The Pro Bowl games. I hate
I mean, that's what's ultimately going to happen. The reason why I was made reaware of it, because I honestly had kind of forgotten myself, mm-hmm. is that we don't have, like, it's kind of an atypical awarding system of the Pro Bowlers, because, like, in certain situations, you get, like, three of them. Like, you get three tackles.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to kind of two tackles or what have you,
right?
For the Pro Bowl games, but we do have the finalists that were named, and the Houston Texans have four Pro Bowlers officially. Obviously, the ones that you have here, you have three offensive players and one defensive player. You've already been made aware of this. I'm not going to make you play the guessing game here.
Right.
Fair. So Nico Collins, first time Pro Bowler. Joe Mixon is a Pro Bowler as well, and then. Starter Laremy Tunsil mm-hmm. as one of the tackles, and then Derek Stingley Jr.
Yeah, thank goodness
is also a starter as a Pro Bowl at cornerback, which that's got to bode well for his Pro Bowl chances. Correct?
All Pro chances.
Thank you. I'm glad you could tell what I was trying.
No, I knew it. I heard you. But keep in mind, what, less than 3 weeks ago he was 12th, and people finally realized. Oh, wow, he's really, really good.
Yeah, there was a point in time where because the Pro Bowl voting had started.
Yeah,
and we were getting returns,
yeah.
And I vividly remember it was you. It was a Tuesday because that was when the Pro Bowl returns were coming in. But then also, I remember it was yourself and our guy, B. Scott, mm-hmm. was in studio, and I was asking, and I was like telling you guys that Kamari Lassiter was on mm-hmm. the top 10 of voters where Derek Stingley Jr. was not on there. But yes, I think... This is where narrative matters, especially in a position like cornerback where it's not as easy to simply go off the stats. He does have the five interceptions, and those kind of trickled in later in the season to help bolster that. But people started taking good long looks at him and seeing that, hey, the passer rating when throwing in his direction was very, very low. One of the best in the league, if not the best. I don't recall exactly where that is landed at this juncture, right? But you have that. You have the ways in which now he has been allowed to travel mm-hmm. with some of the best players. And, you know, there's some big plays in there, but those are the warts that are going to happen, especially with a cornerback in general. It's just a position that is more prone to failure just because the way that the game has gone. But he has stood up in a big way. And so I think this being a Pro Bowl starter, in addition... I think Bill Barnwell of ESPN mm-hmm. has Derek Stingley as one of his All Pros. It really does feel like we're moving very closely to All Pro Sting being a fully realized situation, which is going
to
be fantastic.
I think he's going to be an All Pro, but let's keep this is me trying to keep it real, as it were. I think timing is everything in this as well.
Certainly,
he played a standalone game on December 21st against the Chiefs, and then he played on Christmas Day. A standalone game, and even though they got worked on Christmas Day, but you know, just to talk about him, the plays that he made when the nation is watching, so to speak, matters as well.
Yeah.
In Pro Bowl voting, so good for him. But then I went here, and maybe this is just me being weird.
Laremy Tunsil?
No, Laremy Tunsil. I mean,
a starter, mind you.
I get it. I guess. I mean, you know, we all know the warts. Speaking of warts that he has. You know, running the ball and penalties and all that. He's not gonna be an All Pro.
Tale of two halves for him of the season. Yeah. Like the second half of the season, when the penalties were more under control. Yeah. I guess even I don't even know if that's halves, right? But mm-hmm. as you got further into the season, the penalties were more under control, and then you're able to kind of lean more on the idea that hey, you can see the protection that he is there and still doing at a high level. And the running situation, I hear you, but it feels like also. With the offense, the kind of there's always something. Mm-hmm. There wasn't nearly as many times where the something was Laremy Tunsil not getting his block and not you
right.
know,
but he's not been as good as he has been even in the past. Even when he hasn't never really been, you know, great considered to be great at running the ball. But he's a perennial Pro Bowler, and I think that factors in
that is
as
that's
well.
Something that is
factors
something.
In as yeah. well. But then this is where I went. Well, two things. The first thing is. Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, probably both of those guys deserve to be Pro Bowlers. I get it. It's a packed position. There's a lot of talent on the rush ends, but both those guys deserve to be Pro Bowlers. And
ultimately the ends that make it in the AFC above them, Miles Garrett and Trey Hendrickson were the starters.
Kind of hard to argue those guys.
And then Max Crosby, who has had a crazy good season, one of the few shining lights in a dark team, the black hole of sorts, with the Las Vegas Raiders. But yeah, no, that's tough.
It's a pack position.
It really is a pack position. If there's any solace, they are probably the first, I believe, the first
probably
and third
will play.
First and second alternates, in fact,
are
those guys. If, well, I mean, when you say you probably will play. Right.
Those teams aren't really going to be in the playoffs.
It's like Cleveland, Cincinnati, is they're really.
But they might opt out, too.
Possible. And then Las Vegas, those guys might play. You might just see those guys not end up being able to be alternates there, which really sucks. I don't know if the alternate affects this, but it also really sucks for Donnell being that one spot off because he had a really strong incentive for the Pro Bowl to the tune of $1 million.
Yes, he did. And I don't know if they're going to pay it or not. But this is the other thing that stood out. So you have four Pro Bowlers, six alternates. And I saw this. I'm like, how is this team not better? That's 10 players that are mentioned in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, the alternates being, as we mentioned, Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr., Tommy Townsend is also a first alternate. First alternate punter, huh? C.J. Stroud,
who?
Second alternate quarterback.
What?
In the AFC.
Huh?
C.J. Stroud. So, yeah.
Is that right?
What? Yeah. Yeah. Kaimi Fairbairn is the fourth alternate, and Jimmy Ward is a fourth alternate as well. But, yeah, man, when you...
How are they not better?
Well...
They got 10 dudes that are in the Pro Bowl. Well, nine. I don't know about C.J., but he's still, you know, C.J.,
Yeah, but at least in those conversations, yeah, I hear you. Some of it I think also is like you had the particular hole in the Death Star of sorts. Like the weakness that you had was a load bearing one.
Yes,
or has been, and really continues to be an offensive line. And two, there's been a lot of instances where there's been individual brilliance that's been required, and you have not seen that necessarily elevated by scheme and coaching. And so you'll have talent, but sometimes it feels like that talent is required to go out there and do it almost by the lonesome, right? You talk about two of the guys that are actual bona fide Pro Bowlers this year for you, and Joe Mixon and Nico Collins. That almost feels like that is the entirety of what we've been talking about here. It's been, hey, Joe Mixon, go and find some level of crease or bounce away from where the design play is and go find some yardage. Or Nico Collins, we're trying to just get you the ball and, hey, can you go do something with it? Or can you just go and beat somebody in a route? Yeah, it just feels like there was a lot of individual brilliance.
It's kind of an indictment on Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
in some ways, obviously.
You got all this talent, all these Pro Bowlers.
You had two and two, right? Because you had two Pro Bowlers offense. Yeah. Three Pro Bowlers offense, and then that one defensively.
Yeah,
with Derek Stingley, which again feels like it does not fit with what the kind of expectation and narrative has been, or not the reality of this team, which is the defense leading the charge there. That's what you're looking at. Pro Bowl, you have four Pro Bowlers. Again, for your edification, the starters: Derek Stingley on defense, Laremy Tunsil is a starter at tackle, and then Joe Mixon and Nico Collins, both Pro Bowlers as well. Starting in whatever, doesn't matter, because they get to in the Pro Bowl games.
Yeah,
we'll see what that looks like.
And then the comments never disappoint. The Houston Texans they tweeted out pictures of the Pro Bowlers and the Pro Bowl alternates. And one of the commenters, when you look at Tommy Townsend, one of the commenters said, "I didn't know Caitlin Clark punted for the Texans."
Don't do that. All right, he's got long hair. He's a little pale. All right, just let that man live.
It's truly one of those things you cannot unsee.
Let him live. Let him live. Oh, one thing I did want to note, and maybe this just upsets you more, especially the 832 who's texted in, surprised Laremy Tunsil, or maybe not surprised, but maybe frustrated or what have you, with Laremy Tunsil being a Pro Bowler. This is Laremy Tunsil's fifth Pro Bowl selection with the Texans, which is tied for second most of Pro Bowl selections in franchise history, tied with J.J. Watt and second only to Andre Johnson.
Hey, the guy can pass block.
Yes, he can.
The guy can pass block.
Yes, he can. All right, some other things around the NFL. Jamal Adams cut from the practice squad of the Detroit Lions. I mentioned this because, I mean, he is a box safety, and he's bounced around. I've seen some people go, hey, you need some help at the nickel, where you kind of have that safety play almost like a box safety. Any interest to you?
Well, in a general sense, sure. Like kick the tires. You know, that's kind of how I felt about, and again, I know it's dumb, but, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, hey, sure, kick the tires. Yeah, you only have one running back anyway. In the same sense, generally speaking, yes, there's interest, but the Lions are hurting in the secondary, and they need safeties, and he wasn't good enough.
Yeah, he's since he what was it? Where was his last? Was it the Jets? Since he left the Jets, and maybe before that, that man can't cover.
Yeah,
and like I get like he's a glorified linebacker, and even that is not that good. Like just the expiration days passed. Mm-hmm. The high watermark for him was incredible.
Yeah,
as a player, just the game ain't in him no more. In fact, you somewhat compared him to Ezekiel Elliott. I'm like, yeah. Game ain't in him no more, man. Mm-hmm. So, that one, I'm good on that one in particular. Another thing around the NFL, this brings it back to the AFC South. I found this interesting earlier in the week. Anthony Richardson was talking to the media, and it seems like all of a sudden he's got a really concerning back injury that could, like, it. Back. The thing I like to say is trick backs don't stop tricking.
Yeah.
And so this seems like something that could really shape the way that the Colts, who are, again, probably your biggest competition in the AFC South, the way that they keep going. This is Anthony Richardson talking about that back.
AR, can you explain what the injury is and, I guess, when it happened or how it happened?
Just dealing with my back, you know, just lower back stuff. Last week was tough. You know, I couldn't even stand up on Tuesday. Could barely even walk, you know, crawling around the house. But, you know, I'm here. I'm standing now. You know, if I can do everything in my power to get on the field, you know, I'm going to do so. You know, that was my mindset last week as well. But, you know, I could barely move, so, you know.
Anthony, have you ever dealt with
this
before?
Oh, yeah, I've been dealing with stuff like this in about like eighth grade, but it's never been this severe. It was definitely a little scary last year. I mean, not last week, not being able to move, but, you know, like I said, I'm standing up now and I'm looking forward to playing this week if I can.
Do you know what causes them? Is that something they looked into?
I got an MRI, you know, they checked it out. It says it's a disc thing that's been there for a while, but I guess it got triggered the wrong way last week. And, you know, it did.
Hey, you said you've been dealing with these back injuries for years. Or back issues for years. Is it something chronic? Is it kind of going away on its own? Like, how do you view just your back?
You know, I never viewed it as a problem. You know, I just thought it was more so just muscle tightness from just working out and running a lot. But it might be chronic, but there's plenty of ways to prevent it, you know, going on in the future. And now that I know that what it is, you know, I can find certain ways and stay out of certain positions, just make sure I'm healthy 100%.
If I were a Colts fan, panic. And I'm not trying to be dramatic here. He said some very key things. He's had it since eighth grade.
And he just thought, hey, yeah, just this happens.
Yeah. And a lot of our listeners and me are very quite familiar with, quote, a disc thing.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to him pronouncing that correctly, though. That can always be a stumbling block. But yes. Yeah, man, you got discs in your back messed up.
When you have a disc thing, that ain't going anywhere. And then the other one, it might be chronic. Dude. This is not great.
He also did though try and sell it, and I don't know if he talked for probably another like 45 seconds or something in there where he was like, yeah, but I think that, you know, there's ways to manage it. And then I'm like, hey dog, I'm not trying to hear all that, bro. You've got a bad back.
Yes.
Especially as like particularly for his prototype of quarterback, right? It'd be one thing if I'm just pocket passer quarterback, baby. I'm back here like Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
If I do run, I look like a skyscraper scrambling, right? No. He's a running quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the appeal. That's a large part of the appeal is the size that he brings. And in theory, you would think the durability. But no, he got a bad back.
Dude,
they're cooked.
They're cooked.
They're cooked as a franchise.
and plus the franchise in general.
Yes, the franchise in general. Because also the head coach looks kind of silly in some ways. Obviously, there was a lot of conversation about Pat McAfee taking that team to task.
You're late. You're not late.
Yeah, like, it's, I mean, people
it's
are
up
late
to
sometimes.
You. It's up to you.
Yeah, man, that's nasty. So, like, Shane Steichen is out there looking a little funny in the light. Do you have accountability with your guys? And, hey, Anthony Richardson, a dude who pulled himself from a game earlier this year as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Dealing with a bad back. Nasty business.
It ain't great.
Yeah, so as uncomfortable as you might feel about where CJ Stroud has been in this sophomore year and the ways in which, hey, there's a slump or whatever, it ain't that.
Yeah.
It definitely ain't that. And somebody said there's a reason why medicals are important, if you're damn right.
Yeah.
So there you go. That is around the NFL for this Thursday in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, does this interesting ranking give you some confidence in the Astros this season? I'll tell you what it means next.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Hope this Thursday is treating you well. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Does this interesting ranking give you any hope for your Astros? Let us know how you feel on this. It's just parsing ESPN, as I do from time to time. And they put together a list of the MLB's top 10 starting rotations at this point in the offseason. Now, of course, there's still some things to be done. But, I mean, projecting forward is something that you have to do at any given time in sports. And in looking at this, I just kind of looked at it just to get a feel of what's happening around the league. And unsurprisingly, I think the Mariners, they pop up one, and that feels obvious. That's been their calling card for a little bit. It's one of the reasons why the last few seasons there's been kind of the rallying cry, or the cry that comes from across MLB, though, the Mariners coming. Now, of course, the Mariners have been marinering it up and finding a way to not show up, because, I mean, they have depth. They have guys that go deep into games. They're dominant when you talk about Logan Gilbert, Luis Castillo, and George Kirby. And then you have some other guys that go even further there. Like, the Mariners have a good, really good rotation. Do they get their bats together? That's always a question. The Phillies, another really good good rotation. That's two. Braves, three. Dodgers.
Those all make sense.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yankees are up here. Diamondbacks are up here. Twins are up here. Rangers also pop in here. Returning Eovaldi. John Gray in there, Jacob DeGrom. The question that you asked,
they had some injuries.
How many of those guys will be injured? I know that some of those guys coming off of injuries and such. And immediately after the Rangers, at number nine, your Houston Astros.
That's crazy, isn't it?
I don't know. Here's what we're looking at, right? They identify your top six in the rotation of the Astros as clearly Framber Valdez. Okay. Hunter Brown, obviously.
I'm good with those two.
Ronel Blanco.
Okay.
Spencer Arrighetti. And then they consider Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers Jr.
See, that's what this is about.
I think, So, if I could read the blurb for you, if you don't mind. Houston rotation has gradually become more anonymous while remaining the bedrock of the Astros' ongoing contention hopes. Brown is a burgeoning star if he can hone his command more, and Valdez remains one of the top, one of the sport's most consistent hurlers. Any disagreement with any of that part?
No, not at all.
On paper, things thin out after the above group, and we will soon see if Houston's pitching development will remain productive at a contention-worthy level. The inclusion of McCullers in the top six is indicative of the depth issue at this point. He's missed two full seasons, and there we go. Like, I'm glad that it's identified, but there you go. Like, that's the thing that made this kind of shocking, is because Lance McCullers, I think, I understand why, as, you know, somebody who is analyzing this, you might try and include him. I feel like the smarter analysis is to go, that is found money if he shows up. And Luis Garcia,
if he pitches at all.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. That's what I mean. When I say shows up, like, if he shows up to pitch, right, if he ends up being out there and active, that's found money, because at this point, it has been proven that you probably have to assume not, as opposed to the other way. And then Luis Garcia, I have a feeling that you're not to that extreme, but I'm still not certain as to what he gives you. And then when you do that, now you're talking about four guys without depth behind them. And I think that makes the rotation look a little bit different. But does the idea that, hey, there's people that have confidence as this, as a top 10 rotation right now, give you any confidence in the additional confidence in the Astros?
Not really. I feel like this is a little bit too distanced from the reality of this. Because keep in mind, I mean, Luis Garcia had Tommy John surgery.
That is correct.
I mean, that is not like, okay, we'll see you next year. I mean, it's like, let's hope, fingers crossed, you can play at something close to what you were next year. I get it. Tommy John surgery is not a you know, it's really developed. You do recover and all that. That's a big ask. That's a big ask, you know, for that. And then frankly, you know, with Lance McCullers, I don't know what you're drinking if you think you can count on him. I mean, maybe it'll happen, but you can't count on him.
Yeah, and I know on the text line, someone brings up Christian Javier, but the timetable on that also is one where I don't know that you're going to have him. You wouldn't have him for the start of the season. I don't know how long you would even reasonably expect to have him during the course of the season. And I think that's ultimately one of the questions that pops up. You have some guys at the front end, clearly, that can handle this at a high level.
Yeah.
And I think that's in addition to the fact that they found some corner infielders and Paredes and Walker that also I think are going to be consistent in addition to it. Like, what are some of the, you know, things that people clamored about or, you know, were upset about with Bregman, if you had anything that you could come up with for
him? Like, are you concerned with Bregman?
Well, I'm saying, like, what were the concerns with Bregman if you could throw something at him? Was that slow starts, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that you're going to have that same effect. You're going to have some guys that I think you can play on a consistent basis and expect them to be relatively
consistent. And is Fromber even going to be here?
It feels like yes.
I think they're making a decision, and they're choosing between, you know, obviously Bregman, who's gone, and Fromber.
And this is probably
and
why
then Tucker. Of
this
course
is probably
is
why Fromber is still here because, again, I can give you that the lineup the rotation rather as they see it: Fromber, Hunter Brown, Ronel Blanco, Spencer Arrighetti, and then you Luis Garcia and Manuel Colors. What happens if you take Fromber out of that?
If you take Fromber out of that, then you have even more question marks than reliable. Because really, the only ones that you can count on right now, and maybe even some would argue, you know, how much you can count on them, is Hunter Brown and Ronel Blanco.
Yeah.
Outside of Fromber. And even Fromber has been, you know, somewhat up and down and frustratingly so on occasion. But at his best, he is one of the best.
Yeah, so I did find a level of solace in that, you know, that reconfirmation that, hey, man, when especially if that health comes along, which, hey, how many times has this Astros team been left with that if hanging over them of health, right?
Yeah.
But if that health comes around, that this is still a really formidable rotation, then you add to it an offense that I think should be decent enough. It really just feels like you'll keep looking at that outfield like, hey, give me something palatable. And you have something to contend with these other teams. Although maybe this is a place that where you don't find confidence. You have two other teams in your division that are regarded even higher pitching wise.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, with the A's and the Rangers. Not the A's.
It's like, are they counting the closer in there somehow? Is that
Boy, he's a stud. But anyway,
a delight.
but Fromber, it almost, as we're talking this through, it almost feels like you got no shot if you don't keep Fromber of having any type of rotation you can count on.
Which I think that was the calculus. They looked at it and like, you can get stuff for Fromber, but then, I mean, we talked about the idea of selling the opportunity to continue to contend. I think that sell becomes damn near impossible when you look at it from those perspectives. Like, you got to have something that has some level of punch, and that feels like that's a place where you still have some punch. For the 832, folks acting like the Astros are going to fall off, I definitely don't see that happening. We still have Altuve, Yordan, Diaz, throw on the offseason additions. We're still very formidable, and that's the way that I feel about this. Agree, and I think that this helped like visualize that for me one more time as well. Real quick, I did want to go here because we were talking about, I think mentioned it earlier in the week, the idea of, hey man, Bregman's still out there, and I kind of would like to see that settled to get a little bit of like resolution on just like what's happening with him. And this isn't going to be fully resolution, but maybe this does give a little vindication, if you will, to Dana Brown in the front office. I know, shocking. But according to the Detroit Free Press and Evan Petzold over there, it seems like the Tigers are indeed pursuing Bregman, which we have an idea. There's mutual interest. But I'll read this verbatim. There is a gap in perceived value between the two sides as negotiations continue, according to sources not authorized to speak publicly on the situation. Notable progress has been made since the start of the offseason, particularly in the past month. Does that sound at all familiar?
Yes.
Is it possible that, like, we talked about this with Boris, and he's gotten some money this offseason. Last offseason, didn't he have the Boris Four that were out there and for a long time?
They were hanging well into the season.
I don't know that it goes that far, but it looks like Boris might not have the leverage that he believed himself to have, because that 200 mil that it seems like Bregman is looking for in a place where it felt like Detroit was an easy landing spot where they'd be able to find this and get it done. They're having some negotiation issues where the value perception, Scott Boras is also still not landing there in a somewhat similar way than what it seemed like was happening here with the Astros.
It only takes one, you know, and I think there will be a one. That's one of the reasons when I was making my predictions yesterday for 2025, I said Alex Bregman would be a Yankee. I didn't mention Toronto. I didn't mention Detroit, because I think it just takes one. It just takes one I was going to say dumb enough, maybe smart enough, you know, to go ahead and make that payment. And we say that, but who was our guy, the pitcher, that went well into the season before he signed, and he was at the top of his game, Cy Young winner and everything else. Either way, I think Bregman is a different animal altogether. You know, with his pedigree, with the amount of times he's won, etc., that he's going to get picked up.
Yeah, I'm starting to lean into the idea that you have that it might be the Yankees that they find again a way to dig into the pockets. But I just found that interesting that the Detroit Tigers, in their negotiation with Bregman, at least as it's reported by the Detroit Free Press, looking a little bit more like what the Astros were going through. And not to say that the Detroit Tigers then give, you know, like are a full vindication of the way that the Astros handled it, but I think it makes it feel a little bit less reckless. And of course, I still want to see what the ultimate number is that he lands on, because I think that
at this point it almost doesn't matter. They've replaced him.
No, certainly not. Yeah. It would just be for like the academic portion of this.
Yes.
Like, okay, was it like, can we then say that it was that there was a full lowball? And although, to be fair, like the reporting that we have on the offer out there did feel like a lowball, which was what
Blake Snell, by the way.
Blake Snell, who you were looking for. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. That 156 offer that was out there. Yeah, that does still feel like a lowball, but like by how much is ultimately something I want to see.
Right.
Well, that remains to be seen how that happens there. Somebody said, I bet Michael Brantley could play first base better than Singleton. Now, you don't have to worry about that. You got Christian Walker's there.
Yeah, exactly.
You got Christian Walker for 3 years.
I'm surprised that article did not mention Hayden Wesneski, by the way, in that rotation.
He's on the big league roster now.
Yeah, and what's funny is I like looking at Fangraphs, a really good site for baseball analytics such. They have him still listed in reliever territory, even though the Astros have talked about the fact that they want him to be a starter.
Now, I'm a bit biased because he's a former Sam Houston Bearcat.
Why would that make you biased? I don't understand.
But I think he can showcase himself as a starter if, you know, Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers Jr. are not ready. He's had some time. It's just when you put a young pitcher like him that has really good spin rate numbers, doesn't throw very hard. Like, he's not going to get up to 100 miles an hour or whatever, but he has really good spin rate, and the Astros pitching development is by far one of, if not the best, in Major League Baseball.
Still projection, though. And that's what you know that's why it was a little bit of a surprise they're not in the.
It is a projection, but he fits in that car wash theme that extension that he has. And the Astros love extension. Yeah. I bet they look at that. I can do something with that.
I mean, there's a reason why, because it's that way a 92 mile an hour fastball looks a lot like 94, exactly. 95.
Sure, you shorten that distance and just kind of relative physics. Don't get me to lying and saying like I got all of that down pat, but it feels relatively simple enough if you got the broad strokes. But yeah, I found that interesting with the Astros. Hopefully that gives you a little bit more confidence in this Astros team as they continue to go about their offseason. I'd have a lot more confidence if we find some things about the outfield, but it's been pretty quiet thus far. We'll see how they continue to do things. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Again, I take you to the text line, 713-572-4610. Are the Rockets on the agenda today? You bet your bottom dollar. Rockets got a victory tomorrow, or yesterday, rather. How'd I come up with tomorrow there?
They Rockets, got a victory tomorrow.
That's. I mean, I hope they do.
Back to the future.
That'd be great if they do.
You got that little book?
When they play the Celtics tomorrow, but
the Sports Almanac working?
Got a victory yesterday against the Dallas Mavericks. We talk about that and more, and what's popping, we'll do next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here on this Thursday. Second day of the new year. Actually, I hope that you done paid your rent or your mortgage, or at least you're getting close to it, because you're running out of leeway. They're going to start charging you that late fee, and that's a terrible way to start the year.
How many days you get?
I think I get 4.
That doesn't seem like enough.
On that second thought, I'll be right back.
What you mean right back? You should be able to do that on your phone. Although I not too long ago had a place where I had to pay
check
with a check.
Oh boy.
Otherwise, if you paid online, there was a convenience fee, and I was like, that's not very convenient.
A convenience
fee. That's deeply inconvenient. Yeah. And you know what I did? I walked that check into them every month.
I would have.
I was like, you're going to get this
I
check.
I can't remember the last time I wrote a check, but I would have.
There's nothing that makes me madder than paying money to give you money. Are you insane?
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
Mm-hmm.
There's no segue from that.
But absolutely not.
Actually, you know what? Here, rate this. See if I have this. So from paying for your home to winning at home, the Houston Rockets get a victory versus the Dallas Mavericks last night. Yeah,
not bad.
Yeah, give it up for your boy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
They get a victory over some in-state rivals, not the in-state rivals, because you still got the Spurs, and I don't know if how you feel about that, but a resounding 110-99 victory versus the Dallas Mavericks. Mavericks did not have Luka Doncic, but they did have Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I thought he wasn't going to play.
Derek Lively. Yeah. They had not played the game before, and mm-hmm. I'm guessing the mm-hmm. medical report that I saw was leaning on that previous idea. But no, Kyrie Irving ended up playing. Didn't play well, though. Mm-hmm. The Rockets just showed a level of defense that stifled the Mavericks in a really big way. Even though the Mavericks shot like 50% from the field, they turned the ball over in a huge way, which was a real big testament to the Rockets' defense, getting turnovers, getting out in transition. No amen as he was dealing with the front end of a two-game suspension due to that Tyler Hero judo flip. But then also, Tari Eason missed yet another game with this this discomfort in his leg, which is really raising alarm bells for me.
Well, it should. Yeah, it absolutely should.
Because he missed a lot of last year with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, with the dealing with the surgery of that and everything.
Yeah.
But, like, the idea that this is, like, and I understand discomfort can happen and whatever, and injury stints happen. But because of that and the proximity of that, there's real concerns about, like, how long, what is this going to do to his availability continuing
forward? No, there should be. On last night's game, on yesterday's game, that was really interesting to me. You could almost see Ime really get in on them because it was kind of a slow start. And then, and then about midway through the second quarter, he just got on their butts. And everything changed for about into the third quarter, and then they walked away with it.
Yeah, so the rotation stayed pretty narrow.
Yeah.
Through the first quarter, the only bench player that came in was Jayshon Tate.
Mm-hmm.
That's typically, you know, that first man off the bench, that six-man role typically goes to Amen Thompson. Tari Eason can kind of slide in there if maybe Amen is not available, which that rarely happens. Obviously, he took a suspension in this case for that not to be here. Moments of Aaron Holiday also in there. Which,
You're forgetting a big one.
No Reed Shepard
in
that, but eventually, like, the offense was labored early, but then eventually Cam Whitmore gets
in
there.
That's the one.
And Cam Whitmore was really necessary because he brought a lot of scoring, clearly. The ability to kind of get going, even especially as a lot of isolation ball was kind of necessary with the bigs that they have down there in a shot blocking way. But yeah, Cam did fantastic getting downhill. And one of the things I did notice was just the opportunity of, like, the energy that he brings, like the energy that he brings, that's super necessary for this team. One of the things I noticed, you mentioned that first quarter.
Yeah,
I think that was also one of the defensive things. Like, this team is really good defending, like, one-on-one. They're great when you add that help defense element, like when Amen Thompson is coming over and rotating over and giving you a block, or even Jabari got a big block in that way, rotating over defensively. Cam Whitmore gave you some of that here, which was really great to see him in the team defensive concept doing some of that, even though we know that he can be solid, a little, you know, pretty solid in
the
individual
very
concept.
Good. He was very good, and you're gonna hear from him here. And
we'll get to that later, because I feel like that's a whole larger conversation that has to be had, the way that Cam Whitmore felt about this game afterwards. But the game itself, like, I just want to talk about his performance, was incredible. Cam Whitmore was, what, fourth, because you had five guys in double digits in this game. But Cam Whitmore, 18 points on 7-9 shooting, 3 rebounds, and he did a solid job, plus 21 when he was on the floor. He did a very good job of what he was doing, but also,
this is what you expected from him all along.
100%. He just needed the minutes, 24 minutes in this one. And like I said, he felt some type of way about it afterwards, which was really, really jarring to see. But it's nice to have the validation of the idea that, one, you know the talent is there, but then that it also fits in the context of this team.
Yeah.
Because that's a question that this team is trying to figure out all the way across, is not just, do you have talented guys? That's what you know. Who are the guys that fit very well with the context of what you're trying to do, and who are the ones that are the most important to what you're doing? Because you're not going to be able to keep all of them deep into the future. But this was a strong win against a little bit of a downtrodden Mavericks team. They took Kyrie Irving entirely out of this game.
Oh, for sure. And maybe there's some lingering effects, but he was in the game. Early in the season, actually in the preseason, which I didn't really pay attention to very much until you came along, I was talking about Cam Whitmore, and I'm like, this could be a really big year for him. This could be something that I really like his game. I like what he can offer, et cetera. We finally saw it again, and I don't know. What do you do with him? We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we will talk about that some more. Some other things that are popping. Shout out to Houston's own Simone Biles, named the Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year. She is now the most decorated Olympic gymnast of all time. World's greatest gymnast by some people's estimations, and they would be right in my the way that I feel.
No, for sure.
Competed in her third Olympics, and she did a incredible job at it. And so it makes sense, the resilience that she had coming back from the 2021 Tokyo Games, where she had to, you know, pull herself due to the twisties.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she was, you know, returned as one of the old, I think the second oldest gymnast to do that, and did a fantastic job of it. So she ends up being Sports Person of the Year for Sports Illustrated.
She's done, right?
I don't know. That is.
And I said it exactly for that reason. I'm like, is she? Is she done?
That's part of the incredible greatness of her, is that she still does this at a high enough level that there is quite the possibility that she can go again, and also not just go and compete and just like be there,
even if it's just like specific events,
but go and contend. Like, it would have to be at like the
vault
and floor. Yeah. She got 12 feet in the air.
That's
never going to stop. That's never going to cease to amaze me.
Yeah.
Some other things that are poppy here. I did want to get into this because this just made me smile. Well, I mean, the thing itself did not make me smile. The thing itself is that the Titans are doing that thing again.
Yeah, they are.
So Amy Adams Strong, you have to know that this was her doing. Right? Mm-hmm. We just all know that this is her doing because the Titans on social media, new profile pic.
Oh, gosh.
And it is that Oiler blue.
It is the Houston Oilers logo.
And they put that on social media. I actually didn't even check if it's on like Instagram and all that, if they took this that far, but they did it on X.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I wanted to bring this up, I didn't just want to make y'all mad, but it's because people got mad and they did it in a funny way. And I shout out to all the Houstonians, all the H-Town fans that came through on this, because there's
about comments.
Various responses that I appreciated, starting with the multiple people who responded to that with just an image of Andre Johnson whooping up on Courtland Finnegan. Well done, people. Like, fantastic response. Just remind them that's what can happen. And honestly, someone else responded that, hey, this is why we got to put belt to ass in the way that you felt.
Yeah, this is why. Yeah, they're doing a lot of that. They're all the rehashing of the quotes and Miss Amy this and Miss Amy that. It's just irritating, and you know, looking at the comments again, the latest ones even are just as good as the last ones. Ah, yes, Nashville, the known oil hub of America.
That's right. That's right. Lots of oil. There's a big shale under Nissan Stadium.
They want to be Houston so bad. It's not even
so bad.
That. They're just she because it all trickles down from her, is just so bitter and angry. And still has her daddy issues, you know, working around those.
Some other good responses. Someone responded with a GIF. I believe this is from Blues Brothers. Don't you blaspheme in here.
Yeah.
That one's in there. And here's a little audio clip from a cinematic masterpiece entitled Transformers 2007. Mm-hmm. The actor, Bernard McCullough, gave you this in response to the Tennessee Titans.
If I had a rock, I'll bust your head, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
That's how you feel. And then also, one more of these responses to give you just because I really enjoyed it. Crazy. Y'all been two teams and neither one has ever been to the Super Bowl.
Well, they've been to the Super Bowl. They just didn't win the Super Bowl.
No, because they don't get to claim that.
They don't?
I mean, technically they do. But we not letting them. Why would we let them have that?
That's okay.
But what are you, of all people.
I know. I'm with you.
So, yeah. Shout out to the Texans. We hope that they get a victory. Somebody said, thank you for saying GIF correctly. Oh, absolutely. Hard G.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just makes sense. Fight me.
The most underrated part of the Houston fan base is just when there's something that brings them together, they just come up with the best memes, the best responses. Mm-hmm. That's honestly an underrated part of the Houston fan base, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
That's really the beauty of sports, isn't it? Like, the opportunities that you have to cross all other boundaries in society and just be like, hey, we together, right?
Mm-hmm.
We wearing the same laundry right now, right? All right, we together.
We both agreed this is stupid, right?
Yes, that's right. We all agree on that.
Which, interestingly enough, from the 713, moved here from Nashville. They said their family is still there. No one there wants to own the Oilers except Amy. It's embarrassing.
Yes.
And that's why, like, for her own benefit, although you're not going to beat it out of her, are you? Like, not literally. I want to make that abundantly clear. I'm not advocating for, like, physical violence here in particular to her. Well, physical violence in a football side.
Yes, that kind of physical violence.
What the players that she employs in order for her to feel it?
Yeah.
Good save right there, Reggie.
I'm trying. Yeah. I'm doing my best. I feel like I'm failing, but I'm trying.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that feels like you gotta happen. There's not a way to get back at her, though, right? Like, she's just not going to let this up. Because somebody on the text line said, wouldn't it be cool if the Texans were like Tennessee Volunteers uniforms for the Titans game. You just can't get back.
I kind of think you are getting back at her. Like, because she has never been this irritatingly bad.
Oh, and, so she's mad at the H-Town
Blue? Embracing, you know, the whole Oilers thing. Like, they never really wore the pure Oilers uniforms. I think maybe once. Until last year.
Since they like abandoned them after they had moved.
Yeah, but once the Texans started changing their uniforms and Hannah and everybody's calling them out a little bit and the whole, you know, rivalry thing has escalated. Now she's doubling down and embracing it. I mentioned this the other day. Like her gift to Texans visiting, and it may be the same thing. I'll be interested to see this year. But last year when the Texans visited, Nashville, the gift left in the Texan suite was a wine bottle with the Houston Oilers logo on it. Like that's getting to her. That's how you get her because
rent free.
She's so yes, exactly. The rent free thing is part of it. And I'll say it again. You know, if they do win, which is one of the reasons I want the Texans to win so bad. But if Tennessee does win, she can get that broom and ride it on home
again. Uncomfortable with both implications there. But you know what? It'd be like that sometimes. Yeah. Somebody said, bleep it. Let's rock the H-Town blue jerseys on Sunday.
So we're winning on Sunday.
Yes, I think we have to win.
I feel like you win either way because even if they get the victory, you're going to have to hear their nonsense about sweeping. I understand that. But they get further away from that top of that draft.
Yeah.
So there's little victories in there. But let's go get that victory.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I
cannot shake that. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's what's popping on this Thursday in H-Town. Coming up next, what are you most interested in with this Week 18 game versus the Tennessee Titans? We'll talk about it next.